If you want to have effective prayer life, the first key is that see it as a privilege and an honor that God has granted you to come into his presence. This is why worship is so important. This is why praise is so important. This is why thanksgiving is so important when you pray. You know, oftentimes people think that we praise and thank God to change the mind of God. So you hear people say that when you pray, nothing is happening. If nothing is happening when you pray, when you fast and you don't sit, turn around, then they will say, try praise. It's a wrong statement. We don't try praise as an option to move God. We praise God because he's great. Praise is not something we use to hoodwink God. So he said, if you pray and fast, nothing has happened. If you do vigil, nothing has happened. Try praise. No! Praise and worship is the acknowledgement of the greatness of God, of who he is. It's not something we do so that prayer can be answered. It's something we do to recognize and to celebrate who he is. Praise and worship becomes useless if it becomes a bargaining chip with which you think you can move this rigid and unreasonable God to come and answer your prayer. You know, that's the mentality we have. So God knows that you are not praising him from the heart. You are praising him because of your need. We don't praise God because of need. We praise him because of who he is. Are you with me? Yes, that philosophical mindset, that mindset that praise and worship is something we do when all else fails, is in itself a wrong mindset that can hinder prayer. So when I come before him, even if he answers me, I will praise him. If he does not answer me, I will praise him. Because I know that my life is in his hands. I know that I am not a product of accident. I praise him not because of what I want or need. I praise him because of who he is in my life. So I recognize the greatness of God in my praise. So as you are there, that's why I will encourage you. Spend quality time in praise, in worship, whenever you come before the Lord. You see, those who acknowledge the greatness of God cannot remain small. You can't remain small. You see, praise and worship is an expression of trust. It's an expression of faith in God. Because you realize that even before I ask, he knows it. Before I say one word, he knows it. He is my Father. So when you praise, so I always, one of the things I tell people sometimes, which is what I think you should start doing too. If you have 1 hour to pray, spend 30 minutes to praise. I'm telling you. What you are doing is that you are making a statement of faith that it's not about how much I can ask. He knows my need. But I am putting that aside to just love him. To just love him. This is one of the keys to effective prayer. So you realize that most Christians, we have prayer warrior, but we don't have praise warrior. We don't have to praise warrior. Are you still here? Praise! The privilege and the honor of God is acknowledged in the place of prayer through effective praise and worship. That is it. You acknowledge his greatness. You acknowledge how mighty he is by the quality that you spend, of time you spend in the place of just worshiping, just praising him. Because you see, whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even before you know how to pray, he has been meeting your needs. If God, everything depends, if God has to wait for some time before we pray for something, a lot of things will not be known, because some of the time we don't even know what we need. So he has to raise people in other places to intercede for you. That is it. Are you here? Oh, yes. Number 2. Prayer is for developing intimacy and fellowship with God.
Prayer is for developing intimacy and fellowship with God.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. You know, by the way, let me say this to you. In under the new covenant, I hope that by the grace of God, you know, sometimes I wish I can, that's why sometimes I like small groups of people I can spend time to teach. If I teach you of what we call the mode, our Lord's Prayer. For instance, it's wrong to pray you are praying, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come. Our Father, watch heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That is not what to pray. You don't pray thy kingdom come because you are in the kingdom already. Colossians chapter 2 says, he has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom. So I thank you, Lord, because I am in your kingdom. I thank you, Lord, because I'm a child of God. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Because you see, that prayer he taught them was because he was not yet dead. Because the reason why they call it the New Testament. A testament is a will. And a will comes to effect where the testator is dead. The testator has to die before those things has to be translated. So he was teaching them as under the Mosaic law. But for you and I, we don't pray thy kingdom come, because he said, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, he said, then the kingdom of God is what? Here. So I pray because the kingdom of God is within me. I acknowledge the kingdom of God in me. Prayer. So the misconception about prayer is that we pray so that God can meet our need. That's not the reason for prayer. Nobody wants to marry a woman whose only purpose of coming to you is because she needs something. No. You will not want to marry somebody like that. You want to marry someone who loves you, whether you have or you don't have. Not because of what you have. Nobody, if you ever know that the person you want to marry is marrying you because of your money, you will run from that person. How many of you will want to stay with a selfish person? But the person that marry you for love will have your money. Those who have the heart of God always have the hand of God. Yes. Yes. Those who have the heart of God, you go for his heart. You will enjoy his generosity. That's why I share with you that if you want to ever have if you want to have more peace in your life, don't let it be that it is your need that is driving you to pray. You will always lack. Why? Because without those needs, that means you will not pray. Without those problems, that means we will not pray. Like I shared in first service, that growing up, I always know those who have problems because of their generosity. They call it Sarah. You see, they will come and cook rice for us and put it in a very big pan, put meat inside, and we are eating those hot rice. You know why? Some of them are looking for the fruit of the womb. Some of them, the one program will say, go and give something to children so that you can have mercy. So without those needs, they would not have been generous in the first place. So if you are God, if there are children in that area that are lacking, what do you think you will do? You make them have needs so that they can remember those children. Because without those problems, they will not be generous in the first place. Or do you understand what I'm saying? Go to Agege where the Malams are in Lagos here. Go and check them out. You will see them, even some of them will carry akara, baked beans, and start sharing. Ordinarily, if not for the problem, they will never share that akara. So if I am God, what do you think I will do? I will let them always have akara problem so that the poor will always have something to eat. That is it. But the person who loves children, who loves people, not because of problem, who always give, has delivered himself from that kind of problem. Because you see, whether he has a need or not, that is who he is. Generous. He's not motivated by needs. And some of those people, like I told you, they are very wicked. They are very wicked. And God knows their wickedness. You see, some of them will use money to rob. Maybe their own is promotion in the place of work. Then they will use the money to rob themselves. Rob everywhere. A beggar who does not even have a house, who does not have money, whose hand is bad, whose leg is bad, you are now carrying out of he has his own problem. Then you are robbing all your remaining problem to go and dash him again. So that with that problem he has, then let him also have promotion problem in his life. But you see, God is merciful. He knows that these wicked people, that's, all those robbing is a waste of time. You can never transfer your problem to him. But God is just, yeah, that prophecy may be true because God will ask for you. You will never give 1,000 naira to a beggar if not for the problem you have. Is somebody still here? Prayer. Now, number three. Destinies and supernatural next level results are battled through prayer. Destinies and supernatural next level results are battled through prayer. What does this mean? You see, we have great promises in the Word of God. Wonderful promises in the Word of God. But you know, for those promises to come to pass, you don't wait for them to come to pass. You war with them to come to pass. Daniel said, Daniel chapter 10, I understood by books that we are supposed to spend 70 years in the land of captivity. So I set myself to pray and to supplicate before the Lord. But you see, after some days, then the angel came and said, Daniel, from the first day you are fasting and praying, I have been dispatched to give you the answer, but the prince of Persia withstood me. Now, the question I will ask you is that means, number one, the word of God for them to spend 70 years was hanging upon that nation, but they did not know how to pray. So the prince of Persia took hold of that word so that it would not come to fulfillment and fruition in their life. No wonder when God then said, go and do something, that prince of Persia said, no, they will remain at this level. Thank God Daniel was wise enough to know how to pray. Some of us, we are carrying destinies. We will carry grace. But the reason why that grace has not found expression in your life, because you are waiting for it to happen. You don't wait for prophecy to be fulfilled. You make war with it to be fulfilled. The Lord told Abraham, he said, count the stars. He said, so shall your children be. If you can count the sand of your children, you can number your children. He said, if you can count the sand of the seashore, you can number your children. So, but Abraham still had what? Fruit of the womb problem. He still had the fruit of the womb problem. Then he said, so shall your children be. Isaac, after he married, still had the fruit of the womb problem. In fact, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all had the fruit of the womb issue with the woman they really love. But the Bible said that Isaac realized that this thing is not normal. This is not normal. So Isaac, in Genesis 25, verse 21, the Bible said that Isaac entreated the Lord. He prayed concerning that situation. And the Lord heard him. 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 And Rebekah conceived. In other words, if Isaac had not prayed, he could have died a barren woman, a barren man. Even though the promise of God was hanging on him. One day I was in a place of prayer and the man of God was sharing an experience. He said he was attending a burial of another pastor. As he was there, then he came to the point where they said sand to sand, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. So people, I said, as people were pouring the sand, then the Lord opened his eyes. He began to see people throwing in cars. They were throwing in fine cars and houses into the grave. So he asked, Lord, what is the meaning of this? He said, those are the things he ought to enjoy, but he refused to pray for them. So the man died without driving one car. But in the realm of the spirit, they were there already. But because he was not, he just felt that, it will just happen by chance. If you leave your land, ugu will not grow by chance. Good things don't happen to children of God by chance. It happened because we provoke it in prayer. You have to provoke it. You have to provoke it. You provoke it. You think you just sleep and wake up and your life will be okay. Unless the devil is dead. Unless the devil is dead. Leave your good land. Ugu, cassava, good things will not grow by chance. Unless you plant it. But grasses will grow by chance. Weeds will grow by chance. Prayer. Prayer. In Exodus chapter 1 and 2, the Bible said to Abraham, he said, your children will spend 400 years in the land of captivity. After 400 years, I will bring them out. Prophetic word. But go and read Exodus chapter 1 and 2. The Bible said that until they began to cry unto God, then God had to raise Moses. Moses was around, but because there was no legitimacy for God to usher Moses into that realm, they were not praying. They thought that after 400 years, things would just change. No, after 400 years, they were still in captivity until some of them began to cry unto God. Lord, we are tired of the status quo. Lord, something has to change. This marriage has to work. Lord, I cannot continue like this. Until they began to lay hold of God, then the deliverer never showed up. In fact, I like the Yoruba Bible. Yoruba Bible said that God said to Moses, I have heard their and their I have heard their sighs and their groaning. That's supplication in the place of prayer. The they are languages before God. It's time to pray. Listen. It's time to get engaged in prayer. Hallelujah, somebody. There are different types of prayers. There are different types of prayers. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18 made us to know that there are different types of prayer. And every kind of prayer have different rules. It said, praying with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. All prayer, another translation says, all manner of prayers in the spirit. And watching thereunto. So let me quickly run through the seven types of prayer. Okay. Number one, the prayer of supplication. The prayer of supplication is the what we call heartfelt prayer. Is they call the heartfelt prayer. Is the prayer that involves emotions. Is the kind of prayer you pray with every fiber of your being. Is the prayer that Jesus prayed, that the Bible said that even his sweat turned to blood. He said he cried. Is the prayer that has no regard for decorum. Is the prayer that says it as you feel. You see, when you read the book of Psalms, you hear David say, Lord, they have gathered against me. They have made me like, they are like lions who have come to devour me. Oh, Lord, arise for me. He was just supplicating before God. It's called the prayer of pleading. You plead your way before God. Prayer of prayer. Supplication. Then petition is where you submit your requests. Prayer of petition. You submit your request and present it to God continuously. Then prayer of intercession is the third one. Prayer of intercession is the third one. Where you stand in the gap for others. You stand in the gap and you are interceding for others. In fact, this one is one of the things that is one of the prayer that actually ushers you into another level in your prayer life. Because when you intercede for others, God raises those who can intercede for you effectively. More than you can pray for yourself. When you sow the seed. So for instance now, you are believing God for the fruit of the womb. And instead of just spending time to pray for yourself, you begin to pray for every woman that is also believing God for the fruit of the womb. Your problem becomes a point of intercession for others. So you stand in a gap, Lord, as many who don't have a job. Do you know why? Because you see, the Bible said that for we do not have an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. So that is Hebrews chapter 12. So what that simply means is this. No, Hebrews chapter 4, sorry. What that simply means is this. That God is saying that, you see, because you are going through that problem, you know what it means to sleep without food. You know what it means to have a bad marriage. Because firsthand, you are a priest. He has made us kings and priests unto our God. So because you are going through it, you are the best candidate that can pray passionately about that problem for all those who are going through it. Because somebody who does not know what it means to sleep without food may not know how to pray effectively about that prayer. So but by the time you are praying, Lord, all those who don't have food to eat, because you see, you are going through it, you are experiencing it, you can feel it. You see, your prayer releases power in that situation. Now what that happens is that God then raises other people that you two don't know. You just see that you are not praying about the problem, but solution is coming. That's what happens. Intercession. It's a very powerful prayer to pray. It's a prayer of faith. That instead of praying for yourself, you see, is what do you ever say that? O fearuele, o lo dearueleru. You leave your own load and you are packing another person's load. Now the Bible says that it's a law that whatever you sow, you reap. So other people too will leave their own load and carry your own load. But do you know something? The person that will carry your own load will be somebody that is stronger than you, more effective than you, so that load will bring ease to your own life. That is why you must learn to intercede. That's why you must learn to intercede. So stand in the gap for others. Stand in the gap for others. See, as we are changing our prayer pattern in June, I told our people on Friday, I said, a church that does not pray for, how did I pray? A church that does not intercede for others cannot go places. Yes. A church that does not pray for others cannot go places. One of the ways a church can remain stagnant and not be influential is to always pray only for their own need and never intercede for other places. You see, when the Lord told me about that thing, I realized I have never prayed for the 36 states in Nigeria. So this past week, I began to mention, I realized that even for me to even mention the 36 states was a very big problem. I've not been able to mention 36 states. I have never done it. I had to repent before God. So I began to call Niger State. Lord, I pray for Niger State. I began to call Yobe, Taraba, Borno, Maduguri, Jalingo, Plateau, Benue, Ekiti, Bayelsa, Anambra, Abia. I began to call them and pray for them. If you want to go places, pray for places. Pray for others in different places. You will see. The easiest way for international doors to be open for you is when you actually intercede internationally for people you don't know. A church who prays internationally will go international. A church who only prays national will remain national. And a church who only prays locally will remain a local church. Is the law of sowing and reaping? Is the law of sowing and reaping? Is the law of sowing and reaping? I realize all this prayer on Thursday. Charlie, on Thursday, we will pray all for all our needs. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, from June, you will see us mentioning countries you have not. Tahiti. We are praying for Tahiti. I don't have to be there. You will see how God will also raise other people to pray for us. Yes. Intercession prayer. Then the next one is Thanksgiving prayer. Prayer of Thanksgiving. When you just decide, I'm going to just spend time recalling the goodness of God. So in this one, you know, enter his gate with thanksgiving. Even when you have major issues in your life, you can approach it with prayer of thanksgiving. You defeat today's problem with yesterday's testimony. For we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of what? Our testimony. So you see, whenever you want the next move of God in your life, you go back into your archive and begin to celebrate the victories of yesterday. Then that comes to today to open God for a gate and doors for you for new levels. Say, enter his gate. Gates and opportunities are open, especially when you are looking for breakthrough. You are looking for new level of results. You need gates to be open for you. Go back into your archive. Because enter is gates. So gates open, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. So gates open for you. Opportunities open for you through the power of thanksgiving prayer. Yes. Yes. Are you there? Yes, next prayer type is the prayer of consecration. The prayer of consecration. This is what we call lover's prayer. It's a lover's prayer. It's a prayer you pray to dedicate yourself to God. To express your love for God. It's a prayer you pray to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done in my life. It's a prayer you pray to say, Lord, if you can use anything, use me, Lord. It's a prayer you pray that say, Lord, I don't just want to live for material things. Lord, let my life be used for your glory. It's a prayer you pray when you realize that there is a design and a plan for your life that must be fulfilled. It's a prayer you pray that, Lord, I know that I'm not just called to be an administrator. I'm not just called to be a customer service. I'm not just called to be a policeman. Lord, there is something more in my life. Lord, open my calling. Help me, Lord. Do that prayer of consecration when you give yourself. So that I give myself away so you can use me. That's a prayer of consecration. Next prayer is warfare prayer. Warfare prayer. That's prayer. Number what is that? Good. Number 6. Warfare prayer. What is warfare prayer? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power. It's a WrestleMania prayer. You see, warfare prayer is such a strategic prayer that every Christian needs to know how to pray. Ah! Because you see, the Bible says that the kingdom of God suffered what? If the kingdom of God is suffering violence and you are in that kingdom, but the Bible says the violence shall rise up and take it by what? By force. By force. Warfare prayer is a non-negotiable prayer that every believer must know how to pray. It's a prayer you bind. Matthew 18. You bind. You lose. You put the devil back in his place. And I told you in first service that, you see, most people do not know how to engage in effective warfare prayer. So I shared in first service, I want to share this, what we call the strategic warfare tactics. It's called understanding the watch hours of the nights. You see, warfare prayers, there are tactics for it. You see, it's not that you cannot pray at every time, but there are strategic times for prayer. You know, Yoruba people have an understanding of times and season. So if you're a Yoruba person, you will see that in Yoruba language, the way they call Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, Saturday is prophetic. Do you hear Yoruba people call them Aiku, Ojo Aje, Ojo Ishegun, Ojo Ru, Ojo Bo? You see, what they are saying that on those days, you know, these particular days, there are significant things that can be done. This is what the enemy understands. That's why you hear people who are called stargazers. That they use the elements. They understand the position of the elements. That's why you see some people, when at some special days, maybe they hear 21, 21, 21, 7, 22, 20, you know, there are some special days and hours that they must. They do something special on those days. Even that is where you realize that even in the Bible too, there are some figures that always stands out. You hear 21, you hear 7 days, you hear 41 days. You see, it's not that any other day does not matter, but you see, even the Lord Jesus, for him to do 40 days, 21 days, it's because those numbers have significant meaning in the realm of the spirit. If you have watched some of this, our local movie, when they really want to perpetrate evil against somebody, say, if I call you 3 times, there is a reason. They understand the power of elements and understand that elements plays a role in the natural realm. How did they call people? Go to Benin Republic, you see them do voodoo. They will carry an image, a graven image, and release words over that image. And by wherever that person is, they will invoke the spirit of that person in that image. So much so they will say that whatever we do to this image will affect the person, and it happens. My mother was once a victim when somebody came and just took a wrapper. Our old friend or family member just said, borrow me your wrapper. And after that time, my mother developed a strange sickness. When this cold comes, my mother, in fact, at the point we can't stay in the house with my mother anymore, she will on the stove, put water on the stove, sit on a stool and cover herself, and yet this cold will remain. This cold will remain. This cold, as in you all cannot, the room will look like oven, but my mother will still be shaking like this. So one day, you know, when doctors say nothing can be done, don't wait until doctor says nothing can be done. Me, I always attack every sickness as spiritual. Even if you like, let it not be spiritual. Me, I prefer to think it's spiritual. So that paraventure is not spiritual, he will know that me, I don't take nonsense. I will not wait for it to come before I know it. I just believe that every sickness, because the Bible, there is no sickness that the Bible does not say that there is a demon that represents it. There is a natural cause, there is a spiritual cause for every sickness. So one day my mother realized that this thing, she's going to die before her time. It was when she was praying that the Lord told her that your wrapper was what the enemy used for this operation. Oh yes, your wrapper was what the enemy used. You don't believe in spiritual things. So we had to pray. And the person that took it then came and confessed. I think the woman died later, something like that. You know, at a point in Lagos, you heard that they were looking for pants all around the place. You know, there was a time they were looking for panties all around the place. Or you are not in Lagos, you have not been around for some time. What? How can a pant do something? No, your pants, how can they do something? How can they do something? You don't believe in those things. I saw a girl recently about some weeks ago who said somebody came to just, she who did a hook up with a person. The person slept with her. Another the person, she thought that it was a menstrual. Some of you saw the thing. She thought that it was a menses or something like that. Then by the time blood came out, then the next thing, maggots began to come out from her vagina. When she coughed, maggots came out just by sleeping with her. And you are there, you are thinking that everything is natural. Everything is natural. Everything is normal. Is a coincidence. Some of you, if you literally look deep, you realize that there's a negative pattern that has taken place in your family already. How come nobody is building houses? How come nobody has ever celebrated buying a new car? Maybe only the limit is that all of you always buy Tokumo. If you don't buy used thing, you never buy one. You think it's normal? No, you can continue to think it's normal. The Bible says that there was a woman that was bent over by the devil for 18 years. She could not rise. Everything she was touching was failing. For 18 years, she had her degree. She had her, everything was intact. But for 18 years, her life had no meaning until Jesus spoke. And the Bible says, Jesus said, doesn't this woman, the daughter of Abraham, deserve to know rest? That means the devil tortured her every aspect of her life for 18 good years. But thank God she was wise. Because if when the woman says, it's Nigeria, you can keep going. Say, there is no government that will make Nigeria better. They will try their best. But in the midst of Nigeria, there will always be those who will be rich and those who will be poor. Those who will always have problems. It's like that everywhere. No government can solve everybody's problem. You have to take your own life into your hand and solve your problem yourself. You think it's only Nigeria? U.S. have their own problem. Every country has. If I have not traveled abroad, you can think. I'm telling you, go to New York subway station and be there. I know. You will see people singing. Elderly man, 5 o'clock, singing and begging for money. There are homeless people in U.S. At least I've been to Texas, I've been to Florida, I've been to New York. If I've not been to anywhere, at least I've been to those three places. And I can tell you authority that everywhere you see poor people, even in America. What are we talking about? Warfare prayer. So you see, if you want to have effective warfare prayer, you must understand strategic warfare, what we call the watch hours of the night. Now, in Genesis, you will see that the Bible said that, and the evening and morning was what? The first day. There is that, because you see, in the Jewish calendar, every time starts from evening to morning. Now, you see, there are four watches of the night that every child of God must know how to engage in spiritual warfare. Besides every other thing you do. Number one is between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. In fact, that time is called the hour of miracles. Miracles. 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. You see, why? Because the Bible, if you read the Bible said that in the evening, they brought all sick people to Jesus and he healed them all. In fact, most of the places, go and do your scriptural analysis. Most of the places you see, heal them all. You will see that most of those miracles happen in the evening. They waited till the evening because they had an understanding of the time. The Bible said, of the sons of Issachar who had an understanding of the time to know what Israel ought to do. There's a time for everything. So under the heaven, there's a time and a purpose for everything. There's a time to pray effectively. The next watch hours for spiritual warfare is when you come from 9 p.m. to 12 midnight. And that is what we call the hour of intercession. That is when you intercede. Stand in the gap. If you want to be an effective intercessor, that time is a very good time. 9 p.m. You can pray at other times. But as the Muslim knows that there's a reason why they pray at fixed time. They have a revelation where you see that at a particular time they will shower. There's a time for it. And after that time, they stop. They are taking charge of different strategic time. Then the next one is between 12 midnight to 3 a.m. That one is called warfare hour. You see, go and check. Go and find out. Warfare hour is called deep spiritual intercession time. You want to, you see, most of you have not, if you saw, you know, at a point, my actual son name is Ogundekwe. 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 So after one time, as I began to grow up, I looked at recurring patterns in my family. There are some things that are very synonymous. So I began to ask all my uncles and my daddy, what's the meaning of Ogundekwe? And all of them, different people are giving me different meaning. But one thing stood out, one of the ones that got to me, that Ogun is going to start, he said, Dipe means he's going to start forecasting for you, start interceding for you. In other words, Ogun is your intercessor. I said, God forbid. So I told my father, I said, I'm changing my own name. I'm picking your first name. So my father's first name is Joseph. So as for me, I'm picking. And I began to do some strategic. Maybe God said, will not allow me to tell you some of the things I have seen. I'm telling you, strange things. In my family, one man died. One of their uncles died. When they opened the place he was sitting, they saw the names of all the children of his own brothers. All of them under the stool. Every family, you don't laugh at my family. Look at your own family, you will see the issues there. Every family has an issue. family has their own. You don't know. In fact, that is why some people call that 12 midnight and 3 a.m. witchcraft hour. They call it witchcraft hour, wizard hour. They know it. Go and check. When do they put sacrifices on most junction? Have you seen somebody carry sacrifice and put it in during the daytime? No. They allow you to sleep. Even the Bible says, whilst men slept, not whilst men was awake. Whilst men slept, his enemy came. When was the time that the enemy came? Whilst he was sleeping, deep in the night. 12:3. You are seeing strange patterns in your life. You are seeing unnecessary delay. You touch it, it fails. You hold it, it falls. You try, it's not succeeding. Hey, something needs to tell you that the enemy is around you. Wake up and pray. Wake up and pray. Wake up and pray. Why are you sleeping like that? A prayer that is not costing you will not profit you. A prayer that is not costing you will not profit you. Profitability in the place of prayer must cost you a price. You always want to pray when everything is okay. When you are finished eating lunch, you are okay. Yeah, if it's not costing you, it will not profit you. Believe you me. Believe you me. You have to learn it. Wake up. Wake up and take charge. Bind devils. Bind devils. Bind devils. Take them to take their hands off. If you cannot do strategic vigil on your own, I advise people, at least once a month, gather yourself or as a family or as a person and do a vigil. You see, those who don't believe in that, watch. Three things will always be synonymous. The enemy has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Yes. The only way to prevent is that you learn to alter their plans. By praying. 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 You carry destiny. Some of you should even look at your name. It may look as though I was joking when I said it. When some of our parents gave us names, they were releasing prophecy over your life. They were releasing prophecy over your life. And when you look at your name, they call you glory. But there is nothing glorious about you. Ah, that means something is stealing that glory. You have to stand and say, my name is glory. How come nothing is glorious about me? Ah, I must say, Lord, enough is enough. And you stand and in the word of the night, well, check your name. That is why you must understand the meaning of your name. And declare the prophecy that is even upon your name. Yes. Is somebody here? Oh, it's a season of prayer. It's a season of prayer. So warfare, 12 noon, 12 midnight to 3 a.m. Then the last hour, watch night hour, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. That is what we call commanding the day or commanding the morning. It's the time you release prophecies over your day. Why do you think even Muslims wake up 5 a.m. consistently to just say, ah, they are saying, ah, you are just, and you then wake up, yeah. Father, 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 I bless you. Oh, where's my wig, Father? Yeah. Ah, Otria, you are joking. I'm telling you are joking. And you are competing with this place in the same business space. He had paid the price of waking up before you whilst you are still sleeping. You will not inconvenience yourself. Why do we call it rise to glory in church? Because we know that you must wake up early to secure your glory every day. Release words. Release words. Into the atmosphere. Command your day. Bible says, a great while before day, Jesus stood up and went to go and pray. A great while before day. And when he came back, they said that all men seek you. If you want good things to seek you, you must pay the price of waking up early to pray. Wake up early and what? Pray. You pray it. You pray it. You pray it. You pray it. Command your morning every day. Command your morning every day. Are you with me? Command it. What do you want to see? Call it forth. Today, as I step out, I call forth blessings. I call forth open doors. Every resistance bows before me. I declare into the womb of today. And the Bible says the evil in a day is enough for the day. No, concerning me, I will not partake of this evil. The evil of today will not be my portion. Is somebody with me?
Yes, sir.
You command it. You command it. You command your morning. That is it. Warfare. Whatever you bind on earth, you is bind in heaven. Whatever you lose, I lose the blessing of God for today. I lose it. Oh, let it come to me. Lies are falling onto me in pleasant places. Yes. Warfare, prayer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, are you here?
Yes,
then the seventh prayer type is the prayer of faith. 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 Now, what is prayer of faith? I'm going to touch on this one a bit before we pray, because there's so that I can correct some misconception on this particular one. Prayer of faith involves making requests to God and speaking to circumstances. Making requests to God and speaking to circumstances in order to make them conform to our desire. Prayer of faith involves making requests to God and also what? Speaking to circumstances in order to make those circumstances conform to our desires. Yes, that's prayer of faith. You make requests to God and you speak to circumstances directly in order to make them conform to our desires. Now, let me give you a basis for this. In the New Testament, we don't pray through Jesus. We don't pray through Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus. And there are two dimensions that you can use to apply the name of Jesus. Number one, you make requests in the name of Jesus. And number two, you make declarations in the name of Jesus. The two are different things. John chapter 16, somebody open there. John chapter 16, verse 24. John 16, verse 24. Are you there? John 16. Verse 24, then we will read another one, John 14. You will see these two dimensions there. So let's start from John 16, 23. It says, in that day, you will not question me or you ask nothing in my name. John 16, 23, yes. You shall ask nothing in my name. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask, who? Check it out. Whatsoever you shall ask who? Who? Please answer me. Who? The Father in my name. He will what? Give it to you. Now we don't pray to Jesus. It's wrong to pray to Jesus in the name of Jesus. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. We don't pray through Jesus because it's like Jesus is the one doing the prayer for you. You pray in the name because God has given us the power of attorney to use that name. So whenever you say in the name of Jesus, it's as though Jesus himself is making the request because you have come to act on his behalf. Now look at verse 24, what Jesus said here, so that you can understand what I'm saying now. Verse 24, either though you have asked nothing in my name, ask and you shall what? Receive, that your joy may be what? Full. Go to verse 26 for me. Verse 26. And at that day ye shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray what? The Father for you. Do you see what he says here? Jesus said, I'm not saying that I'm going to pray to the Father for you. I'm not the one that will do the prayer. Why did he say he's not going to pray for the Father for us? Then the next verse says, verse 27. Look at verse 27. For the Father himself does what? loveth you. The Father himself loveth you because you have loved me and have believed in me and that I came out from God. So he said, I'm not going to pray to the Father for you. You pray to the Father in my name. That's what Jesus said. So it is wrong to say, Jesus, please help me pray the Father. Because some of us, we have been told that God is an angry macho God. So Jesus is standing between God. God always wants to destroy the world. Then Jesus said, no, remember the nails. Remember, look at my... That is the perception we have of an angry, wicked God that will have judged us. But anytime he wants to kill us, then Jesus said, Father... That's a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus said, Father himself loveth you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's all about the love of God for us. God is not wicked. He's a loving God. It is Satan that has painted that image of God. Yes. Yes. So don't ask Jesus to pray to the Father. Go to the Father and say, I have come. In the name of Jesus. Lord, that's a prayer of faith. Then the next one we do, you remember that we make prayer of faith is, what's the definition? You make request unto God and what? What's the second part? Check your notes, please. Huh? And you make what? Good. You speak to circumstances. You speak, you make request to God. That's the part I've just shown you. Then speaking to circumstances is different. John chapter 14 verse 13. John 14, verse 13. Look at what Jesus said. Whatever you ask in my name. Now, do you realize that he didn't say whatever you ask the Father in my name? But what he's saying is, whatever you ask in my name, that will I what? Do. So that the Father may be glorified in the what? Son. Now, the first one said, whatever you ask the Father, that is request. The other one is, whatever you ask in my name. Now, there are situations that you don't need to request. Make request to God. He said, behold, I give unto you power to trample upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by what? Enemies, so you look at some circumstances as in the name of Jesus. Oh, especially warfare prayers. Warfare prayers. It's in the name of Jesus. Whatever is troubling my life, I have come as a child of God to declare enough is enough. Enough is enough. Right now, I command you, Satan, take your hands off. You don't say, I pray to you, oh God, oh Father, tell the devil to take his hands off. No, that is a prayer of request. It's not about spiritual warfare. You don't pray to God to deal with the devil. You are not the ambassador of God. You are the representative of God. You deal with the devil the same way Jesus dealt with them. Hallelujah! Is somebody with me? You speak to your womb. I speak to every death situation. Oh, in the name of Jesus, take your hands off. I am declaring right now, whatever is frustrating my life, oh, enough is enough. In the name of Jesus, you begin to declare it. You make that declaration in the name of Jesus. Hey, pastor. Hi, too. I'm answering you. And what if we don't have faith? What if we don't have faith when we use the name of Jesus? So because, you see, so I'm praying, Lord, give me faith so that when I use the name of Jesus, it can work for me. Oh, dear sister, let me answer your question. Now, the Bible did not say whatever you ask in faith in the name of Jesus, it shall be done to you. Why? Because Romans chapter 12 verse 3 says, unto everyone is given a measure of faith. You have faith already. You see, in the Old Testament, Jesus said, you of little faith, or because you don't have faith. But in the New Testament, we have faith. Faith is a gift from God when you are at salvation. Without faith, you could not have been born again. So you have faith already. What you now need is to begin to exercise your authority because you already have faith. Every child of God has faith. Every child of God has faith. Hallelujah. All right, now my time is up, but I want to quickly say this to you because I want us to pray. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Mark 11 verse 22. Everybody, I want us to read Mark 11 verse 22 to 23 together. We are going to read it to 23. I want us to read it loud and clear. Then I will explain something to you. Then we'll pray. Mark 11, 22 to 23. All right, let's read 22 and 23 together. Oh, let's start from verse, 22. One, two, go. Let's go. One, two, go. 22 to 24. Okay, I think we should stop at 24. Good. One, two, go. Okay. Continue. Continue. Now you realize that anytime you are praying the prayer of faith, the prerequisite is you must believe. Right? Have you gone home? Are you here? You must believe. Now, let me talk about doubt, because you see, I can't go into all the things. One of the rules governing prayer of faith is that you must not doubt after you have prayed. Now, how can you deal with doubts in the place of prayer? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to God, to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Casting down what? Imaginations. And everything that have exalted itself against the knowledge of God." One of the things that hinders the effectiveness of the prayer of faith is doubt. So I want to talk to you about overcoming doubts. How do you overcome doubts? For you to deal with doubts, you must know where doubt resides. You must be able to identify the type of doubt. There are two folds that, or two areas that doubt dwells. Number one is that doubt resides in our mind, and there is another doubt that resides in our heart. How do you know the type of doubt you are dealing with? Let's talk about the doubt that originates from the mind. It's a casting down, it's a imagination. Let's look at that scripture again. He said, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds." Now, stronghold here means facts and theories that forms an integral part of our lives and personality. Strongholds are beliefs, facts, theories, arguments that are part and parcel of our lives. So if you're a medical doctor, for instance, you have been trained with some facts to be able to know that, okay, this disease can be cured, this one cannot be cured. So you already know it. Now, when you are praying the prayer of faith, when you begin to see the kind of doubt, what I call the one that stays in the mind, they are the kind of doubt that is occasioned by facts, theories, arguments, realities. So for instance, you are believing God for financial breakthrough today, but the fact is that there is no money in your bank account and you are not working. So as you are praying based on that fact, you see, the doubt of the mind always have a basis. It must have a fact to attach to. It must have a reality. It must have a theory to be based on. So the fact is that you don't have a job. The fact is there is no money in your bank account. And here you are praying. So all of a sudden, then you begin to see that you are beginning to get worried on where the money will come from. Why are you worried? Based on the fact that there is no natural means with which that money is coming to you. So your mind judges the situation and runs a conclusion that no, you don't have a job. There is no source of income. So the doctor have said that you don't have a womb. You see, which is the fact. The doctor have said that this sickness is incurable. So that doubt, that circumstance, that theory becomes a force that begins to buffet and wage war in your mind. Are you with me? So whenever you see that what is happening in your mind has a basis for it to be there, There is a basis for it to happen. Because of the truth, they have said that it is incurable. That's a fact. So because of that fact, you are now having this on and off thing in your mind. That is a type of doubt that is originating from your mind. It lays hold of facts, theories, arguments. Now, how do you deal with it? Two ways to deal with the doubt that comes through your mind. Number one is that you pray in the tongues. You pray in the spirit. Because the Bible says, he that prayeth in an unknown tongues edifieth himself. He said, his spirit prayeth, but his understanding is what? Unfruitful. You starve your understanding by praying in tongues. Because why? As you are praying in tongues, you are praying for things that if your mind understands, will not even pray for it at all. So you pray in tongues. The second way to deal with doubt that comes through your mind is to counter it with a proclamation of the word of God. You see, do you realize that Jesus said unto Peter, come unto me, and he was walking on the water until he saw that there was wind, and his mind interprets that wind, that when he saw the wind burst on the this thing is dangerous, he began to what? Sink. That's a doubt of the mind. It's a doubt that comes through your mind uses the communication of your five senses. It's either because of what you are seeing or what you are hearing or what you are feeling or what you are touching. The doubt of the mind originates from those five senses that your mind is processing. So then the next thing is that you know that you cannot talk, you cannot be thinking and speaking at the same time. So what do? You need to begin to speak the word of God. Oh, in the name of Jesus, I know that the doctor have said nothing can be done, but the Bible said that with God all things are possible. Oh, I'm walking in the realm of possibility. My own is not going to be impossible. This situation is changing, you know, and every time again the thought come, you respond with the word, and you don't just say it in your heart, you say it aloud. You say it aloud. You say it aloud. You say it aloud. You make that declaration aloud. I am wealthy. I have money. I may not feel it. I may not know it. But God is going to make a way for me. He's making a way for me. He's making a way for me. These are happening to me. Victory is mine. You begin to speak that word loudly. Always remember this principle. You cannot be thinking and be speaking at the same time. One has to give way for the other. So each time that doubt comes, you also counter it with the word. You counter it with the word. And the Bible says, remember, what was Jesus' temptation in the garden in that wilderness? He began to turn this stone to bread and he would say, it is written. The devil took him to another place. He said, it is written. And after some time, what did the Bible say? He left him, because each time you respond with the word, you are punishing the devil.
Oh yes.
Because the word of God is like armor. It's like a sword. It's like fire.
Oh, yes.
So every time you release the word, the devil gets injured.
Oh,
he
yes.
does not like the word.
Oh, yes.
The atmosphere of the word is the atmosphere of victory.
Yes.
Starve the doubt in your mind with the word of God. Is somebody with me? Is somebody with me?
Oh yes.
Then the other doubt is the one that comes to your spirits. Your spirits. Let me tell you how to identify the one that is from your heart. The Bible says that if he believe in his heart that those things he seeth shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he seeth.
Oh, yes.
The doubt in your spirit, the Bible says in Proverbs, he said, hope deferred makes the faith weak. The doubt in your spirit is that you are no longer convinced. You have lost your conviction. Maybe you have been believing God for some time. You fasted and prayed for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. And because nothing is happening, then all of a sudden your conviction is lost that God can do it. So you just believe that, oh, there's nothing God. This one is like it's bigger than God. You know, the doubt in your spirit is how you will know that you are no longer convinced in your spirit. You have lost conviction about the fact that God can do what he says he can do. Because you see, because it tarries. Because it's not coming as fast as you want it to come. Because it's not coming the way you want it to come. So you are no longer convinced about it. When the doubt in the spirit comes, this is when people stop tightening. Because they tight and tight and tight. But things get difficult. This is when people stop praying. Because you see, they have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Nothing is happening. Let me tell you how to overcome the doubt that comes from your spirit. Let me say this. In the season of your waiting, start exercising your faith.
Oh, yes.
Start exercising your faith.
Oh, yes.
And one of the ways to exercise your faith, Bible said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18, he said, in all all things, give thanks to God. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So when you feel that your faith is becoming weaker, lift up your voice and begin to thank God. Hey Lord, I thank you because something is happening. You see, in the doubt of the spirit, just go ahead. If you are believing God for a car and you have prayed and prayed and it's not happening, start exercising your faith. Start saving for the car. Start pricing the car. Do something. Don't just fold your hands and think that one day it will get better. You can make it better by exercising your faith. For we walk by faith. It is that we sit by faith. It is that we sit by faith. You see, the problem is that most of us are just sitting for that good day to happen. You have to start walking by faith. You have to start taking that step of faith. You have to start moving by faith. You have to start doing something. Because even though it tarries, it will surely come. I come to declare to you, my God is still in the business of doing miracles. My God is still in the business of doing miracles. He's still a miracle worker. I don't know who you are. Maybe past experiences are shaping your belief in God. Maybe past failures are shaping your faith in God. Maybe you no longer feel like praying. Maybe you felt that, God, after I prayed, why did you allow this to happen? Maybe you felt God has disappointed you. Maybe you felt that, oh God, why? Let me say this. I have come to announce to you, He's still a faithful God.
Oh yes.
He's still a faithful God.
Oh, yes.
It is time to start exercising your faith. Start taking that step of faith. Today, as you pray, I don't know who you are. You have come to the altar of prayer. He said, my house shall be called the house of prayer.
Oh, yes.
As we are going to spend the next 15 minutes praying, I want you to know that in this season, you know something? One of the dynamism of the prayer of faith is two. Why the prayer of faith don't answer in the life of most people is that they stop praying without a conviction.
Oh, yes.
So you hear somebody say that the prayer of faith, you ask once and stop.
Oh, yes.
Well, it depends on the level of your maturity. Now, you can ask once and you believe. Once you know that, yes, of a truth you have believed, stop asking. But I will say to you concerning the prayer of faith, ask until you have a note of victory.
Oh, yes.
Because you see, when the enemy comes in like a flood, it is the note of victory in your spirit that you will use to silence him.
Oh, yes.
You know? So you pray of faith. Luke 11, Jesus said, that woman kept troubling that judge. And the judge said after some time, even if I don't fear God, this woman, because she did not stop coming, she will weary me by her continual coming.
Oh yes.
Then the Lord said, I will give to her.
Oh,
then
yes.
Jesus said, will I find faith when I come? What is the faith? The faith to pray until you hear that word. So the note of victory comes sometime when you have a rhema word. As you are praying, you just hear a word. That word sinks in your spirit.
Oh, yes.
Now you can stop praying and start thanking God because it is done. Because you have a note of victory. Or sometimes you just pray. Then a prophetic word comes. And it aligns itself with what you have been praying for. That is your note of victory. You take that prophetic word and begin to thank God for it. And you run with it. But until you have a note of victory, it will be very hard for you to have results in the place of prayer of faith. I want us to lift up our voice. We are having, my time is really up, so I want us to pray. First and foremost, I want to just lift your voice. I say, Lord, I thank you.
Lord, I thank you.
In this season of prayer,
what
you are doing in my life. I thank you for what you are doing in my life. I thank you because my life is not going to be the same again.
Thank you because my life is not going to be the same.
Thank you for what you are doing
same.
In my prayer life. Go ahead and thank the Lord this morning. Go ahead and thank the Lord this morning.
Lord, I thank you, Lord.
I want to first pray for those who need to give their life to Christ.
Oh, yes.
Before we just spend a few minutes more to pray.
Oh, yes.
You are here or you joined online. You are not born again. You've not surrendered your life to Jesus.
Oh, yes.
I want to pray for you. Because you see, one thing that can hinder your prayer is that you lack a relationship with Jesus.
Oh, yes.
So wherever you are this morning, wherever you are joining from in person, it is time to make things right with God. God is not your enemy, he's your friend.
Oh, yes.
He is your friend. So I was saying, Pastor, I want to pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be born again. I want to repent. I want to come to Jesus. Say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So wherever you are, just place your right hand on your chest. You want to give your life to Jesus. Online, in person, just place your right hand on your chest. Then I will pray for you. Say this verse after me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to be born again. I confess that I am a sinner. I repent from my sinful ways,
from
my sinful life, and I turn to Jesus. And I confess with my mouth, the Lord Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus came into this world. That he was crucified.
He
was buried.
He was buried.
And he rose from the grave.
And
gave me victory.
And gave me victory.
Today, Lord Jesus. Jesus.
Today, Lord Jesus.
I open the door of my heart.
I open the door of my heart.
Unto you.
Unto you.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Come into my life.
Come into my life.
And be my Lord.
And be my Lord.
And my personal Savior.
And my personal Savior.
Wash away all my sins.
Wash away all my sins.
With your precious blood.
With your precious blood.
And please write my name.
And please write my name.
In the book of life.
In the book of life.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For saving my soul.
For saving my soul.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, I thank you for all those who have prayed this prayer from the depth of their heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
I will say, come unto me and I will give you rest.
Oh, yes.
They have come. And I thank you because they have entered into your rest today.
Oh, yes.
Now I pray for you that you will be established. You will become fruitful.
Amen.
And the name of the Lord will be glorified in
Amen.
Your life.
Amen.
Father God, I thank you.
Thank you, Father.
In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen. Amen.